Turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of John. John chapter 15. We'll begin reading verse 9 in just a moment, and we'll talk about the love of Christ this morning. I know I was teasing a little bit earlier about your Valentine, and don't misunderstand. I think it's important that we honor our spouses and our loved ones, but you know, isn't it something that we live in a world today? We as Americans, we're spoiled. Most of us have more money than we have brains or common sense, and we'll spend, our country as a whole will literally spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably more money than some small country's GDP. It's amazing what people spend on holidays and for occasions. There's nothing wrong. I'm going to do my best, and I'll put myself on notice, but I'm going to do my best to make sure I get my wife flowers this week. No candy, because we're both on a diet. And I will fix her favorite meal this week on Tuesday night. She's going to fix one of my favorite desserts. It's a sugar-free, gluten-free cheesecake, and it actually tastes good. And I'm going to grill up a couple of steaks with garlic and Parmesan cheese and a whole lot of butter on the stove, not on the grill. I make it a little bit different when I pan-fry, but we're going to do that, and we'll have a time together that evening with turn off our phones for a little while, and we'll have some time together. And you know, it's important to have those things, whether it's an occasion of a holiday or just something we purposely plan to do for one another. And yet here in our country, like I said, multitudes of money will be spent in advertising and promoting that thing of love. Think about that for a moment. In order to get you to buy a card, a box of candy, flowers, or a three-course meal at a local restaurant. But isn't that aspect of love, which we're going to talk about this morning, should be something that we as believers display every single day? I mean, I'll close with this statement, but I'll make it again now. How can we expect a lost and dying world to understand the love of God if they don't see us as believers loving one another? And that's what it's all about. Let's look in our Bibles at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. John 15, 9, if you found your place there, say amen. Amen. All right, let's go. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Father, bless the reading of thy word this morning. Father, help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. I pray that you'd help those under the sound of my voice this morning, whether here with us in our auditorium or at home, Father, that you would help to put away the cares and the concerns of the world just for a few moments, that we might glean and look at the scriptures that help us, to challenge us, to encourage us to be more like you. Father, bless today. Have your will and way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you all the glory and praise. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. You see, the love of Christ for his own was and is very great. He exhorts his followers to love also. And let me challenge you with three thoughts this morning that every believer should study his love, show his love, and share his love. Number one this morning, let's look at verses 15. We'll look at a couple of passages of verses as we go, but to study his love, the love that is in the heart of Christ is self-sacrificing. He says there in John 15, 9, we see a great love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You dear, see, dear friends, a human mind cannot fathom the greatness of the love of God, the love the Father has for God the Son. And to compare his love for us says Christ loves us beyond human comprehension. I am glad that Christ did not compare his love of that of Hollywood or the world today. His love would be cheapened if it had been that type of comparison. Dear friends, as we study his love, do we not see it as a great love? Do we not see it as God loved us no matter who we are, where we're from, red, yellow, black, or white, no matter what language we speak, where we're at in the gutter or making our way out or trying to live a good life, not knowing him, he still has a great love for each and every single one of us. And we need to do our part, as we'll get to a little later, about having that same type of great love toward others. But not only do we see this as we study his love, we can see a great love, but we also can see a compassionate love. See, no one can match the love of Christ. Christ loves us when we are unlovable. You see, Christ does not love us because of who we were, but because of who he is. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. Now, we have a little thing in our family that's spread out from me and my wife to our children, to our grandparents, to our in-laws, and to our grandchildren. And that's usually us. When someone says, I love you, it's usually followed up with, I love you more. And as daddy with the kids and grandkids, I always get to follow up with, they beat me to it, is, well, I loved you first. Do we love with a compassionate love? How compassionate are we toward others? Do we have that love that Christ demonstrates, a great love, but a compassionate love that is forgiving, that is forbearing? But then we also see, not only as we study his love, a great love, a compassionate love, but we also see an unmistakable love. How does Christ love his own? Without a doubt, we love our own. We love our children. I love my children, my grandchildren like no one else. But I also ask my Lord to help me love you, my congregation, our congregation, my sheep as your shepherd, to love you the same way that Christ loves you, to love you the same way I love and adore my wife, to love you the same way that I love my children. Our little one, Jovi, our youngest granddaughter, her face just lights up when she's excited about something. And when you say, I love you, to her, her face just lights up and she runs and hugs you and says, oh, I love you too, Papa. It's just all over, so excited about expressing that as she expresses it back. Do we have that kind of love? A great love, a compassionate love, an unmistakable love. Notice how unmistakable his love is. He loves his own by his words. In John 14:9, he says, so have I loved you. The first way Christ showed his love to his disciples was to tell them. One way you can display love to another one is to tell them. It's not hard. Look at someone next to you and just look at them and say, I love you, right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, it wasn't that hard, was it? It's not. Now, it's a little bit different to say it, but it's something else to mean it. And we'll talk about that a little later. But expressing our love. He does it with his words, but also by his sacrifice. In John 15 here, in verse number 13, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in Romans 5, 7, and 8, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His words and his sacrifice, they mean something. They are unmistakable as he speaks his words of love to us. And he shows that love by his sacrifice. But also this unmistakable love is not just in his words, in his sacrifice, but it's also by his behavior. Again, in John 15, in our text in verse 14, he says, ye are my friends. Those we love, we call endearing names. We have little pet names. I have them all for my children. My youngest, I call Boo. She's a police officer, and I try not to tell her in public when she's on duty. My middle daughter, Kayla, I call her a name, and we learned in Eastern Europe is endearing is when you add Lushka to the end of a name in Russian. I call her Kalushka. Becca was our firstborn, and I often called her when she was young, Princess. Just those endearing names. I call my son Buddy. We have endearing names for one another. I used to call my wife's Slatkaya, which is another my sweet, or the other, I'm losing my train of thought, the German word, Schatzi. I quit calling her Schatzi. I'll throw this in real quick. Because when we were on the mission field one day and we were unloading, relocating, some other local nationals was helping us. My translator, Vladimir, was helping us. And Vladimir had a great voice, and man, could he close an invitation. But his name is Vladimir Mirmir, and Mirmir means world peace. He's Turkish, got relocated with the Russian army and got saved, and was such a blessing. But we were running out of the house, and I kept hollering to my wife and say, "Hey, Schatzi." And after a while, before long, Vladimir would come in and say, "Hey, Schatzi, where do you want me to put this?" So I quit calling her Schatzi and started calling her. But we all have an endearing name that we have for our children, for our wife, for our husbands. And Christ, that endearing name he uses for us is simply is friend. Friend. Those we love, again. How do we behave toward others? Even when they treat us wrong. We won't turn there this morning, but make note of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. Even the day that Judas betrayed Christ, he looked at him and he basically says, "Friend, what have you done? Friend." Even during his betrayal, even though he was letting other people know, "This is Jesus, this is a man whom we followed," and he kissed him, he calls him friend. Dear friends, do we have the type of unmistakable, compassionate, great love toward others? Do we use our words? Do we recognize the sacrifice that he made and willing ourselves to make sacrifices? And we see his behavior. In our behavior, do we practice and extend love? But also not only his words and his sacrifice and his behavior, but by his choices that we see this unmistakable love that he has for us. In verse 16 of chapter 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Dear friends, he chose to love us. And we should choose to love others as Christ does. Behind every choice, Christ is the love of Christ. Behind every choice of Christ is his love. Choose to love like Christ. Yes, even those who may appear to be the unlovable. Those are a little bit harder to love. Guess what? They may be harder to love, but just like Christ, we choose to love them anyway. Again, how can we expect a dying world to understand the love of Christ if they cannot see a world made up of Christians, a church, believers who are not expressing their love toward one another? We are going to offend one another. And don't be surprised, if you stick around long enough, I'm going to offend you. It won't be on purpose. But I hope that you'll extend grace and love and understand that if I really realized what I was doing or saying, that I would not have done it. However, if it's because I spoke the word of God, I can't apologize. I can just ask you to understand, I love you enough to tell you like it is. And sometimes tough love can be difficult. But we see our compassionate with our Lord. Study his love, a great love, a compassionate love, an unmistakable love. In that unmistakable love, we see his words, we see his sacrifice, we see his behavior, we see his choices, and we could do the same. Number two, not only study his love, but show his love. We see this in verses 9 through 11. Though Christ loves us unconditionally, many Christians do not show or display the benefits of this love. Notice a few things we can do to show the benefits of Christ's love. Allowing the Lord to love others through us. Allowing the Lord to minister unto others through us by making ourselves available to show his love. First of all, notice love like he loves. Simply put, how do we show his love? Love like he loves. In verse 9, once again, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." You see, dear friends, we must be faithful or continue in the Lord to show the benefits of his love. Love others like Jesus loves us. Dear friends, you have to admit, I know that I can. I know there's been times in my life that I wasn't very lovable. I know there's been times in my life that maybe I wasn't as kind as I should have been. I know there's times in my life that I may have reacted instead of waiting upon the Lord to guide me in my actions. But do we strive to do our best to show His love? If we think about it today, have we loved like Jesus? I would challenge you and encourage you today as we depart a little bit later in the service to do our best to love like He loves. Can you imagine how forgiving that would make us? How forbearing that would make us? Could you imagine the doors that the Lord would open up unto us as we love others? I've learned so quickly through the years of ministry. There's been people that I've been able to lead to the Lord that did not like me. I know, it's hard to imagine. Who doesn't like the preacher? In fact, quick story and we'll go on. This past week was a funeral for a friend of mine, Joe Blankenship. Joe, in his 80s, passed away. The first time I went to go see Joe, he had been witness to, had been in and out of church a few times. His wife is a faithful Sunday school teacher for 40 plus years. And the first time I went in to meet him, he wouldn't even come to the door. His wife let me in. I went in and sat down. He asked me if I wanted something to drink and told his wife to get up and get it. I was there for, as far as he was concerned, to visit her, not him. I tried to do my best to warm up a conversation. The Lord allowed us to use the aspect of the military, having that in common. He was in Vietnam. I served in the military. And he got upset with me one time, and I just simply looked at him and said, Joe, as one soldier to another, what did I say that really make you mad? What have I done as one soldier to another that has made you upset? Hey, I'm just going to tell you the truth. And then I stayed there a little bit longer. He grumbled, and I spent mostly with the time with his wife. And over almost 6 months to a year, as I visited him and went by his house, if there was ever an occasion where I wasn't there, his wife would tell me later, she would text me and said, Joe has been wondering where that preacher was because I hadn't been by to see him. It took several months, but to the best of my knowledge, Joe, in the privacy of his own recliner in his bedroom, trusted Christ as his personal Savior. It took a lot of time. I couldn't just give up. And even though he wasn't loving me back, I was loving him. In fact, I've got a voicemail on my phone. And it cracks me up every time I listen to it. Because when I first met him, he was gruff. He wasn't real kind. And that voicemail says, hey, preacher. Hey, buddy. How you doing today? I'm getting ready to go out deer hunting. And I thought, man, his voice was shining. He was lit up. It was in the hospital before we relocated here. And I went by to let him know that we were relocating. He was still in the hospital. We were moving to Arizona. He reached up and with tears that he hugged my neck. And he said, thank you. Dear friends, I could not have done that without loving like Jesus. Joe's in heaven now, but he wasn't very lovable. But he came around. He came around. And he became very lovable to this preacher, very friendly to this preacher, very kind to this preacher. Love like he loves. And then nextly, obey his commandments. That's how we show his love. Verse number 10 of our text. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You see, obedience to the Lord is also necessary to display the benefits of his love. Obeying his commands allow us to reflect or to show the love of Christ. And some of his commands are to what? To go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. His commands are to go and do likewise. We're to go, we're to be a part of this world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. And as we go out and to show his love and we love like he does, we honor and obey his commandments, people will take notice. And then we are to not only love like he loves and obey his commandments as we show his love, but we are to live joyfully. Be happy. Don't walk around like you've been sucking on persimmons or lemons. I know lemons are in abundance around here, but you don't have to have a face that looks like you've been eating them all day. We need to live joyfully, happy. Put a smile on your face. If nothing else, people will wonder what you're up to. But live a joyful life. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, his joy in us should reflect joyful living, living a joyful life. A happy, joyful Christian will show his love with very little effort. His joy will spill over in our lives if we let it. I don't know about you folks. You just think about the happiest time that you've ever been in your life. I'm sure we can name a few. There's been a lot of times through my life that I've been happy. I was happy when Michelle finally said, I do, after three no's. I was happy, Brother Tom, when I hit the last home run of the year at the boys club, not only over the fence, but on top of the boys club. Got to climb up on the ladder, climb up there, and fetch it off. I was happy as a young kid. I was happy when I pitched my first no-hitter. I was happy when my first child was born. I was happy when my second, third, and fourth, and those grandchildren were born. I was happy. I was elated. I was proud and excited. And dear friends, if we're not living a life of joy, find something to be excited about and remind your face every morning before you leave the house. Be happy. What, if people desire to be like us, if people want to know what we have, if people are curious about our life and why we're so happy, that gives us an opportunity to share the love of God. Hey, what's wrong with somebody asking you, why are you so happy all the time? What's wrong with that? Boy, what an opportunity. Show his love. Love like he loves. Obey his commandments and live a joyful life. Dear friends, if you're down and out and you're discouraged, you've had a rough week, you're not feeling well, just remind yourself of what Christ has done for us on Calvary. Remind yourself what the Lord saved you from or saved you out of, depending on when and what age you trusted Christ. There's always something to be happy about. Study his love, show his love, and then thirdly and lastly, share his love. Kind of overlapping, but that's okay. We see that in verse number 12. Christ's love for us is to be expressed by us to others, especially to other believers. See, it is one thing to show his love, but the next step is to actually love on others. Notice his command in John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. See, it's sad to have the idea or the aspect of, well, my wife knows I love her. I told her when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. That's not good. Brother Darrell, you got to do better than that. We are to tell our wife, our children, our spouse, our loved ones that we love them on a regular basis. We are to tell one another that we love each other, that we appreciate each other. And I want to tell you now, I mean this with all of my heart as your pastor, I love you. I appreciate you and what you do for us and how you encourage me and Michelle and pray for us. It's an encouragement to us. And we want to respond in the same way in loving you. And dear friends, some believers or saints may be hard to love, but we are to love them anyway. Think about it for a moment. You know the old saying, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family. Some of us do all three, don't we? Or two of the three. Think about it. When somebody gets saved into the family of God, they're family. Yeah. When that gentleman, those of you who got daughters, when that guy walks down the aisle that you don't like and they finally say, I do, he's family. You got to love him. Got to love him. In this same way, when people come in our church doors and they join our church family, we need to love them. In fact, we need to love them before they join. We just need to love the world around us in the right way like Christ did, and it will make such a difference. Yeah, this holiday comes around once a year talking about love, selling the hearts, Cupid and his arrows. But we are to be loving one another 365 days a year, rain or shine, warm, hot, or cool, just loving one another because he commands us. He not only commands us as we share his love, but look at his example. Not just his command, John 15:12. His example is, as I have loved you. See, the love we are to have for believers must be like the love Christ has for us. It should be sacrificial. It should be unselfish. It should be God-honoring. And it should be genuine. Genuine. I've got no problems being genuine when I look at my wife and say, sweetheart, I love you. I have no problems being genuine when I look at my daughters and my son and my grandchildren and say, I love you. And dear friends, we have to be just as genuine when we tell others that we love them and that God loves them. How can we expect them to come to know the Lord unless we demonstrate that love? It matters not, and it matters no difference how hard he or she may be. It doesn't matter how good he or she may be. It doesn't matter how unrighteous, unholy, ungodly they may be. We are to love them where they are, trusting the Lord to work through us to change them as well, that they would embrace the love of Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And we do that by loving others. Dear friends, if we can't love one another, how can we expect the lost world to believe that we love and that we care about them? How are we loving today? The love of Christ. Michelle, would you make your way to the piano, please? Study his love. Show his love. And share his love. I want to challenge you and encourage you to think about today, as we get ready to have a word of prayer, have you allowed the Lord to love you? Have you allowed the Lord to come into your life and give you eternal life? And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I rejoice with you. But if you have not trusted Christ, you'll have no other love that you've ever experienced will be the same as the love of God. If you're here today and you have trusted Christ, let me challenge you. Are you loving others like Christ loved you? Even, it's easy to love family. It's easier to love church family. Sometimes it's a lot harder to love the world and around us. But the Lord says we are to love them. We are to love our enemies. We are to love others. We are to demonstrate his love that it might draw others unto him. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. Our pianos will play softly for a few moments. With head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Let me ask a few questions, say a few words. If God has spoken to your heart, why not come here to an old-fashioned altar? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never experienced the love of God. Would you allow me to pray for you? Maybe you just slip your hand up and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know of love, but I do not know of this love like Christ loved. I do not know if I would spend eternity in heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that at all? As I look across the auditorium, I see no hands. So my next question is, before I pray, are you loving others like Christ loves you? Look, would you ask and pray the Lord to help you to improve on that love? Ask him to love others unconditionally. Would you even maybe come and pray and say, Lord, is there someone this week that you want me to love on a little bit more? That you want me to express your love to others, that I might draw them closer to you? That I might draw them to a saving knowledge? Or that I might draw them back into your fold? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Would you have your will and way in this service? And Lord, as our pianos play, some may need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Some may pray where they stand. But most importantly, Father, that we all do business with the Lord according to the movement of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed just for a few moments.